Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
So Money episode 939, Kelly Brogan, author of Own Yourself.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
The reframing of that allows, I think, people who have at one point seen themselves as sick to now see themselves as having an untapped potential. And that's, I came up with this concept not from some like poetic, you know, sort of flourish, but because I watched one patient after another go from, you know, seemingly permanently labeled as mentally ill to becoming, you know, healers and creatives and artists and really visionaries.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. My guest today is Dr. Kelly Brogan. She's a holistic psychiatrist who has gone through a personal radical transformation in her career. You know, she began, as she says, really great at prescribing medicine. She was your go-to doctor for prescription drugs. But after an experience treating her own thyroid condition, she put down her prescription pad. And in the 9 years since then, she's focused on helping and treating her patients with more natural, holistic solutions. She's a friend of So Money. She was on this podcast many, many episodes ago when she had her first book entitled A Mind of Your Own, which is about depression and how women can heal their bodies to reclaim their lives. She's back now with a second book called Own Yourself, where Kelly discusses how people can become free from depression, anxiety, and fatigue, and finally tap into their real selves, which then allows them to show up in all ways in their lives, in their careers, in their relationships. Here's Kelly Brogan. Kelly Brogan, welcome to So Money. Again, it's really great to reconnect.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me back. Not everybody does.
Oh, only my favorites make a comeback. And maybe a third time. You are a friend of the show for sure. The first time you came on, it was to talk about A Mind of Your Own, the New York Times bestselling book, where you're really talking about women and depression and finding their path through that, navigating that. It's, you know, mental health is such an important topic, especially these days. We're learning more about it. We're learning about how it's important to not compartmentalize it and, you know, taboo it. And this new book that you have, Own Yourself, is sort of the phase two of people who perhaps read A Mind of Your Own that are searching for more. So Own Yourself is really about life after depression and anxiety and fatigue to reclaim your authenticity, the vitality, and freedom. Was this something that you arrived at based on listening to your readers and your audience, them telling you like, thanks for the first book, but we're still kind of at a crossroads even after we go through the process of really coming to terms with our mental health?
So it's interesting because the timing of this particular book and this concept of personal responsibility, reclamation of power, and even bodily sovereignty, like who owns our body? Who makes the ultimate decisions about, you know, our health interventions? Is it the doctor? Is it our parents? Is it the government? You know, is probably never more timely. I couldn't have designed it, you know, better. Yeah. But when I wrote A Mind of Your Own, it was because, frankly, I was pretty enraged about everything I hadn't been taught in my very stressful, very expensive education, and, you know, really kind of the dark side of psychiatry. And as a passionate believer in informed consent, which means that every patient is given a very full picture of the risks, the benefits, and the alternatives of a given treatment, I felt really almost betrayed. But, you know, I think there is a definition of betrayal that is just an unwillingness to see something, right? And I wasn't willing or ready to see what was in plain sight. And so, you know, I thought I was like saving lives with A Mind of Your Own. And I was out there with my sword aloft and here I am going to go fight big pharma and I'm going to win, right? And what I found is that the people who have encountered the book, made use of it, the outcomes that we have, you know, been reported. And of course now at scale since then, it's been several years, can't be explained by information alone, right? That I just gave them information and they just educated themselves and went on their merry way, waltzing off into the sunset. And so what I now understand is possible is that there can be a profound validation of an inner knowing that you have more power than you feel at a given moment in your life when you experience yourself as dependent, helpless, maybe even hopeless, or really almost always broken. Like that's kind of the shameful secret that so many of us are hiding is that we feel something is gravely wrong with us. Mm-hmm. And so of course we're going to be attracted to seeming solutions for that, right? Which is often at your doctor's office. But I found that, you know, this information really serves to validate that and ignite that light inside, you know, so that people can begin to walk their path of self-discovery. And that's kind of my definition of health is the path of self-discovery. And when I was in my training, you know, this concept of self-discovery, even in psychiatry is not really a relevant variable. It's really about symptoms and symptom management, getting back to normal. But what if there's a whole new normal, you know, that's awaiting you? And part of that involves, I call it like an order of operations. So my first book was very focused on this 1 month protocol. Now we've refined it and it's been in scaled operations for several years now. So the whole protocol is in my new book as well. But it's really also about, okay, so after you get to your baseline. I believe every single adult deserves 30 days in their life where they understand their power dynamics in their lifestyle, right? So where are they giving away power? Is it to their morning coffee, to their bagel? You know, is it to their resistance to exercise? Is it to sitting at their desk? What is it? Is it to their spouse? You know, so if you can get to a baseline where you're focusing on your self-care for an uncomfortable amount of time every day for 30 days, and you're eliminating a lot of addictive relationships to food and beverages and digital technology, et cetera, and you're really prioritizing yourself in a way that often is going to be uncomfortable for a variety of reasons, including how programmed we are towards external evidence of productivity, right? Like, are you being productive? Are you going to get a good grade on life? Are you working towards that? Then you'll, at the end of those 30 days, liberate a lot of energy to begin to explore the other places in your life that are holding you hostage. And you'll have what it takes mentally, you know, in terms of cognition, in terms of energy, physically. And then a sort of equanimity from sending your nervous system that signal of safety for the month to begin to engage your life, you know, to turn towards it instead of simply running away. And this process can be very harrowing. It can involve a period of groundlessness, you know, where you really don't know how to identify, you know, who are you, right? So I have a patient who once told me, you know, after the month, she said, well, so much has changed for me. I thought I was, what did she say, a Democrat, and a vegan. And of course she was at that time taking medication. And she said, now I don't even know who I am. I don't know what to think, you know? So it is, it's a period can be, and give birth to a period of exquisite confusion, which actually is the birthing of a new belief system. And that belief system is one that allows for meaning, for purpose, and for there to be really like a design behind the unfoldment of your life so that you can experience challenges thereafter. And instead of saying, you know, what's happening to me? Instead, you kind of say, wow, what's happening to me? You know, it's just kind of like a change shift in
exclamation point.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's like the whole 30 diet. This is like the holistic 30. The Kelly Brogan holistic 30, where it's less really about what we're putting into, maybe it is partly what you're putting into your body, but to your point, it's also about the, you know, the actions that you take that are reducing your ability to feel powerful and in your own self. And this, so firstly, how do we, why do you think we are so distraught? So many of us, I mean, on, and there's a whole spectrum, right? Some people are just having bad days. Other people are, you know, need clinical attention. And so there are obviously a lot of reasons for why we arrive at these mental states, but given where we are today, you talked about this being a really timely book. What are some things that we should avoid? Is social media part of this problem?
Yeah. So one of my favorite quotes is a Krishnamurti quote that says, it's no sign of health to be well adapted to a profoundly sick society. And through a certain lens, we are collectively sick, or at least what we have been working towards, on, and for is no longer serving us, right? So technology is a major expression of a certain mindset and a certain worldview that says we are here, each separate selves, to dominate, control, and master our life experience, right? And that has served us incredibly. But now we're at a point where it's starting to feel bankrupt. And we have a sense, it's almost like our souls are stirring, that there is a way that we can feel more okay, more safe, more connected, and that there's a way we could be afforded experiences of joy that are not available when we are in our little, you know, sort of atomized, discrete pods in the world, right? And so this experience of separation, separateness, is pervasive. So it's not only do we feel separate from our bodies are something that we have to manage and control, like machines that break down, but we feel separate from our communities, from our families. You know, we live in little modular homes, and for the first time in human history, you know, women are raising infants by themselves. You know, that never happened in our entire ancestry.
By choice, right?
By choice, right? Or seeming so. And, you know, and we're also disconnected from the earth. And that's not just kind of like, you know, some bohemian earth mama phrase. It's a literal reality that we have now seen what it is to imagine that the earth is some utilitarian resource for us to pillage, right? And plumb. And it's not the case. And our sickness, if you will, the illnesses that we are diagnosed with, whether it's an autoimmune condition, which was how I entered into this world of alternative medicine, or whether it's, you know, schizophrenia, our illness can be interpreted as something wrong with you, or you can understand that your body, mind, and spirit are wise reflectors of a very real incompatibility, right, between lifestyle and the context we are meant to inhabit. And so this is where I got the idea that, you know, the folks who are most likely to be diagnosed with chronic illness, but specifically chronic mental illness, and that could be anything from social anxiety, again, to bipolar disorder, are what I refer to as the canaries in the coal mine. So these are not people who are, you know, particularly messed up, right? And who got a bad lot of genes and some bad luck sprinkled on top. And now they just have to take pills for the rest of their lives and feel quasi ashamed of it, right? I think that actually these are the folks who are the most highly sensitive among us. And they're the most sensitive to, you know, toxicant exposures, whether that's fluoride in our water or pesticides in our food. They are most sensitive to nutrient deficiencies. So a wrong dietary match for them is going to actually result in very meaningful symptoms, whereas somebody else might go on with their lives until the ripe age of 90 without a single diagnosis, right? They're very sensitive to toxic relationship dynamics and to imbalances of power. And so these folks may even also be sensitive to what's wrong with the collective, right? Like, how can we come into a functioning as a, like a meta organism together, right? Instead of all of these separate cells, like cancerous cells, just fighting each other for dominion, right? So the reframing of that allows, I think, people who have at one point seen themselves as sick to now see themselves as having an untapped potential. And that's, I came up with this concept, not from some like poetic, you know, sort of flourish, but because I watched one patient after another go from, you know, seemingly permanently labeled as mentally ill to becoming, you know, healers and creatives and artists and really visionaries, out of the rubble of that transformation of mindset, you know, to reclaiming their power.
And once you reclaim that power, tell us about how it beautifully shows up in your life. Because let's bring this home for people, you know, like, how does this show up? How does this manifest at work with your financial obligations, with your marriage, with your relationships outside of, you know, your home, like your work relationships and all the things that we hope to thrive at? How does it transform us?
So it's interesting because, you know, I haven't myself been on psychiatric medication, but I have gone through the archetypal awakening process that my patients and, you know, many online participants write about and tell me about and share. And so I do believe there, it's like the heroine's journey, right? The hero's journey. And it has certain stages, and the place that you are delivered to on the shore of the other side of this chasm is more extraordinary than you can ever imagine. And some people describe it as like a flow state, right? So as a place where the sum of the parts is greater, right, than what you're putting in. And I often joke because, you know, I had this diagnosis of Hashimoto's thyroiditis. I began and engaged and I guess in some ways designed the protocol that I use because of my own health crisis. And that was a decade ago. And, you know, my entire life has transformed completely, right? So I live in a different place. I'm, you know, with a different partner. I have a different relationship to my children, and I look different. You know, my partner Sayer and I joke about how we should do before and after pictures of like what we looked like. So 10 years later, I feel I look more vital than I did 10 years ago, right? And that's not consistent with anything we understand about aging, right? So you can defy the program of decline and entropy by tapping into this, you know, vital force, if you will, or just your personal alignment, if you want to keep it really simple, right? And the prosperity piece is a really interesting component, because actually we are in the process of polling our online community, one of them called Vital Mind Reset, to see how their prosperity has scaled from when they were struggling to now that they have gone through this portal of self-initiation and are on the other side. Because my entire team also fits this description of people whose prosperity has scaled, mm-hmm. as, you know, we have done together. And it's not really explicable through basic decision making, right? So it's, if you can tap into this sort of clear alignment with your intuition, which I think can only really happen once you have cleared the cobwebs and quieted the white noise of a lot of misalignments with lifestyle choices. And once you have that sense of inner control, because even neurobiologically, the way that we are wired, you know, is such that if you are in a dependent, victim-oriented state, your neurobiology is fundamentally different and not consistent with certain, you know, cognitive patterns, and you will fundamentally be caught in a survival mode, right? That serves you then. But if you can shift into this regenerative state, right, and you feel the locus of power and control within you, then you access different parts of your biology. It's really, I think, relatively well documented. And, you know, you can call it an inflammatory state versus a balanced state, but it's really quite a beautiful thing. But then you have the opportunity, you know, I have a lot of financially related limiting beliefs, I'll say, right? Mm-hmm. And I have had the opportunity to witness this massive amount of prosperity coming to me, and then my ability to basically disappear it into my team. Right? And, you know, it's given me an opportunity to look at, okay, so now that I see all that's being offered to me, and I look at my patterns and my beliefs, right? One of my beliefs I've been able to identify is that people in power are corrupt and they don't deserve to have money, right? So that served me when I was like, you know, working at a bagel store and, you know, complaining about how little I was being paid. But as somebody who's now in a position of power, you know, as a CEO, let's say, of a company, that belief is coming back to haunt me, right? Because it's manifesting. But I don't think I would have had the ability to be curious about these kinds of patterns if I was still struggling with, you know, gluten and dairy induced cognitive impairment, racing heart from my 6 cups of coffee a day and, you know, insomnia and a general sense that I was just barely keeping up with my to-do list in life, which was, you know, what characterized my experience during my medical training before I was diagnosed with an illness. So it's really not only about tapping into this sense of alignment, but it's also about giving you the energy back to interact with your own patterns with curiosity so that you can check them out and begin to unwind them with a good degree of non-judgment and self-compassion, because that's an important ingredient so that you don't slip back into that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a AA or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
Victim mindset.
Yes. You've been very vocal about your disapproval of the pharmaceutical industry in general, but curious to know your thoughts on when it is okay to take prescription drugs. I mean, at some point you might need them or maybe not. I'd love to know what you think about that and the questions people should be asking themselves before they just accept a prescription because their trusted doctor gave it to them.
Yeah, right. So, you know, that model worked for a while. And now we're in a different model because of the internet and, you know, the dissemination of information globally, where you as a patient have the power to inform yourself. The way that I was educated in my training, despite my best efforts, and, you know, remember, I believed so much in medication that I literally specialized in prescribing to pregnant and breastfeeding women. That's how much I thought medication was the right choice. But I was not even in a position to properly inform patients about the risks, benefits, and alternatives because of the nature of the system. It's kind of like, you know, you wouldn't go to a butcher to learn about veganism. So you're probably not going to go to your allopathic doctor, you know, your conventional doctor, to learn about what you can do in your lifestyle to liberate yourself from a diagnosis and any need for medication. You are in a position to inform yourself. And obviously that's what I'm trying to do. It's not that I disapprove of pharmaceutical medication. I mean, I personally, you know, and in my family, we live in a pharma-free household under all circumstances. And so I have a lot of experience, you know, moving through various types of illness, whether it's like urinary tract symptoms or bronchitis or, you know, whatever it is, the common cold or flu. I mean, honestly, we really almost never get sick. I can't even remember the last time anyone in my house did. But nonetheless, if it were to happen, I would understand that it's an opportunity to support my body and work with it, mostly because I know the trade-off. And I have extensively researched it. I mean, tried my best to include as much of that research as possible. All of these sacred cows of conventional medicine, whether it's antibiotics or acid blocking meds or birth control pills, or of course, you know, psychotropics, vaccines. And I've tried my best to just tell a more complete story so that people can make their own decision. Because the thing that squeezes my heart to an extent that is barely tolerable is when people learn the hard way. And I don't want a single person to take a prescription that has a potentially very serious side effect. And these are, you know, even birth control. I personally took birth control almost continuously for 12 years. If I had known about it, you know, what so many have learned the hard way about it, I wouldn't have touched it. And then I would have come up with what would have felt better for me, right? But I didn't have the full information. Mm-hmm. You may have the full information and still make the choice. And so be it. You know, when you're ready, you're ready, and you cannot force that readiness. But I love what Maya Angelou said, you know, when you know better, you do better. So my quest is to just make sure that people know so that they can make the best decisions for themselves.
Let's take Maya's advice, but apply it to money. And, you know, we've spent so much time. I'm so happy that we got a chance to talk so much about your book and your framework for own yourself. But if we could maybe sidebar a little for some personal finance chatter.
Yeah.
So know better, do better. When it came to a financial decision in your life where you knew better and did better, what was that? Or I'm sure there were many, but what's an example of something that stands out?
Actually, I have a very timely one that I've not shared with anyone, actually, but my closest friends. And I'll share it. I think we are all struggling, and I know this is something that comes up a lot, you know, in conversations about finances, with scarcity mindset, right? With this idea that if you have it, I don't, and there's a limited pool of resources, and therefore there's a race seemingly to get our piece. And even if you are a kind and generous person and a giving person, that mindset has been, we've been enculturated by it. It's in there, right? So we each have our own personal ways to defy it and to act as if we already live in a state of abundance, right? This idea of abundance is circulating everywhere. But to find what that would look like for you, and how you can serve the greater good of humanity through your, you know, financial discomfort, I think is a very important opportunity. So, you know, I teach for free. I give information for free all over the internet. But I have always felt that it's very important to make a financial investment in your health. And that's why, you know, my fees for private practice are very steep and always have been, even from the beginning, because I knew that that was part of the alchemy. It was a way to vectorize your attention so that you were able to focus all of your, you know, efforts and visualized outcomes into this healing process, right? And I've been proven correct, you know, that this is a part of it. For example, with my online program, Vital Mind Reset, which is the same thing I do in my practice, that is a fraction of the cost of an in-person visit with me, actually has better outcomes, which is a whole other conversation. but I've given that away for free to a number of people. And I have never, ever once gotten feedback when I've given it away for free that there was any outcome, right? And meanwhile, I have an entire staff of volunteers tasked with writing up our clinical outcomes from folks who've actually paid for it, right? Because they're so extraordinary and like literally history making. So I was at a point in my, I'm at a point in my private practice where I'm shifting to group-based healing, right? And I'm ushering all of my one-on-one patients into groups because I know that that yields better outcomes when it comes to medication tapers, which is my focus in private practice. And I actually had the clarity recently that there's one patient in particular who's really stuck and struggling and was on medication for a very long period of time. And I've never done this before, but I understood that I needed to begin to treat her for free. And that she, you know, in particular, her family was investing an incredible amount and she was kind of just like spinning her wheels and not making progress. And meanwhile, I'm taking my whole practice. We're all going in this other direction and she's kind of not able to do that based on, you know, the struggles that can attend these medication tapers. And I just had that intuition and I listened to it and I've already been shown it was the right thing to do. Now, I've never done it before. And I may never do it again. But I think it's a good example of how when you engage this process of tapping into yourself, which I believe has, you know, is preceded by a solid physiologic foundation, you know, you engage that month protocol, you work towards clearing things up for yourself on a physical level, on a nervous system level, then you get those hits and they often don't make sense. Right. So they often, you know, you could easily, in fact, my assistant was like, are you sure? You know, what about this? What about that? And you just kind of know. And I think that actually for me, this offering will liberate something very important in terms of a sense of financial abundance and the way that it relates to service that I am trying to heal and work on and clarify. So I think those opportunities present themselves in this very individualized way. And it kind of is like, it's at the same time, the signature of that opportunity is it's at the same time, very uncomfortable and very exciting.
Mm. You touched on something, which is willpower a little bit. And, you know, a lot of what you prescribe from, you know, the book and your framework, it requires at the end of the day, a willing person to go through this, to go on this journey. How do you get there? Because I think that's part of it. It's so much easier to take a pill. You know, you go to the pharmacy, you get it, you come home. But this requires a lot of self-work, focus, determination, willpower. So what about that? How do we get people motivated to do it, to even start?
You know, I used to think it was go big or go home because that's my personality and it's many aspects of my personality that I'm working on. This kind of extremism, hyper self-discipline, and almost like a self-punishing, right? So that's really what has driven the development of my online program. You know, that a lot of the outcomes I describe are out of. And I used to think, well, that's the only way. You have to just understand the power of your choice. You have to make an uncomfortable commitment and just do it, really do it. Right. And I've understood, actually somewhat recently in my career that that's not the only way. And we developed a membership community called Vital Life Project, which is like a companion to the book for people who will like, don't want to dive in the deep end or don't feel ready or, you know, don't feel they have the financial resources, whatever. And so in this community, it's like little baby steps, 1 week a month. We all do a challenge together, and it could be like changing your breakfast or changing all of your beverages to simply filtered water in 1 week or changing your bedtime, right? So these little lifestyle hacks that you do just for 1 week. And what I have seen, even in the few months that we've had it live, has confirmed the suspicion I had that I had too limited a view, right? And that there is a way to ease yourself in the shallow end of the pool and walk towards this new experience of bodily ownership. Mm-hmm. And then of course, of personal, vitality. And so I'm not sure that there's a way to coerce yourself, but what there is a way to feel for that yes inside, right? A way to just feel for that little rustling, for that small flame and to just honor it, right? So how are you going to say yes to yourself so that you don't 10 years later look back and say, wow, that was 10 years of living in survival mode, you know, whoops. So that you begin to take one step towards yourself, but it can be a huge leap or it could simply be a small baby step, a small way in which you generate the experience of a new kind of change inside.
Right. I think that's true with anything you're trying to ultimately accomplish, a big feat, whether that's getting out of debt or, you know, becoming healthier, that we thrive on success, whether that's a little success, a medium-sized success. So building that in the beginning so that it's a guaranteed win for yourself, these small exercises, I think that's brilliant. So before we wrap, I wanted to ask you one last money question. And this actually is in partnership with our sponsor, Chase, Kelly. And the question is, what is something that you practice or something that you use, maybe it's an app or it's a system, a process that for you doing this thing helps to build financial security in your life or financial freedom, independence. But there is something conscious, like maybe it's a daily habit, but we'd love for you to share a nugget of that with us.
Yeah. So, you know, I certainly am in the category of women who took a long time to be able to just turn towards finances and look at them. So creating a monthly ritual where I sit down and just really kind of like try to conjure up a feeling of lovingness, right? So almost like a sense of a ritualized experience around looking at my various accounts and expenditures. But I think one of the rituals that's helped me just to connect to the flow of money in and out of my life was when I, you know, went to the bank and took out several hundred dollars worth of $5 bills. And I don't know why. I really love $5 bills. I think it's like a matcha or a cup of coffee or like a little treat, right? And for me, it felt again like moving in the face of a lot of childhood programs around scarcity to have this stack of $5 bills in my car or in my wallet to give, you know, whether it was for tip or to a homeless person or to somebody in need. And just to sort of have that feeling of, oh, I have this to offer. Right. And so it's become kind of, I don't know what, something of a practice that really gives me a sense of, liberation.
Yeah. And I love that. Another guest here on the show, a friend, James Altucher, talks about how he likes to go to the bank because you can only go to the bank to get this. To get $2 bills.
Yes, even better. I love that.
Which is such a novelty and a kind of a conversation starter too, like tipping people with $2.
Yes.
You know, it's special. It's, but I love what you do. And I think that's something that we can all practice, maybe like to carve out a budget every month for just sharing the love. And there's actually studies that show that donating even as small as $5, and donating meaning like, yes, you could give it to your charity that you love, or buying someone a latte, being charitable, being, you know, just get paying it forward. $5 is actually something that has been tested that can lead to your own happiness.
Look at that. I love it.
So just to put a bow on that, what you just explained, I love it. Kelly Brogan, congratulations on your latest book. And we will encourage everybody to go out and get a copy of Own Yourself, a great read. Anybody who wants to really get back, you know, into the swing of things. If you're in a rut, if you have overcome, a mental challenge and you want the path forward, you want motivation and empowerment, Kelly is your go-to holistic doctor. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Kelly for joining us. Her book again is called Own Yourself. It comes out tomorrow. And her website is kellybroganmd.com. She's on all the platforms, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, at kellybroganmd. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to So Money and leave us a review on iTunes. And if you'd like to learn more about the show, check out somoneypodcast.com. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And I hope your day is so money.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.